I know you're going to love this, Chris.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You're going to love this.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The grittiest whisper I heard about the whole Rodgers-Packers thing. Of course he's coming back. Jordan Love ain't the guy.
He stinks.
After one start.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch. Coming up, actor and producer Joe Manganiello. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Our buddy Joe Manganiello, diehard Steeler fan, making his way to the studio. He is narrating the Sidney Crosby, the rookie year Audible original documentary, and it's Sidney Crosby wrote it. It's in his story, but in Joe's voice. He's joining us on the program. Huge NFL news just broke moments ago. My colleague from the NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, and Adam Schefter both reporting that Russell Wilson is being traded from Seattle to Denver for Drew Lock, veterans, and a host of picks. Oh my goodness! Is that just the biggest story in the NFL right now? And it's amazing that you could tell me that Aaron Rodgers signing a 4-year, $200 million contract extension would last as an hour and a half as the top story in the NFL.
Like,
but that's the way things go, right?
Yeah.
That's the way things go.
Wow.
Craziness. But we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line right now for our scheduled guest here at the top of hour number three. His Minnesota Timberwolves currently ranked 7th in the Western Conference at 37-29, fresh off of a beatdown of the Trailblazers last night. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show right now is the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris Finch. How are you, Chris?
I'm great, Rich. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Are you a Seahawks fan or anything? Just gonna take that stab. I know you spent a lot of time over in the UK and in Europe, getting your coaching career settled. But I just decided to take that stab to start off this interview.
I'm actually a diehard Eagles fan. Grew up outside Philadelphia, but
okay.
I'll tell you what, how difficult is the AFC West right now?
Did you think you'd come on this show to break down the AFC West for just even a split moment? But at any rate.
Well, it might be my favorite sport, so I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, but you're from the Philly area, huh? Is that where you're from?
Oh yeah, I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about 40 miles outside.
So. Okay, so did you spend a lot of time in the Spectrum back in the day for you?
I did spend a lot of time. Actually, used to go down. I worked with Kevin McHale for 5 years in Houston as an assistant, and I always told Mac, I used to boo the heck out of you on Sunday afternoons down at the Spectrum. He said, yeah, you and about 16,000 other people.
But those are the days, right? Dr. J, the zinc on the microphone, right? The zinc?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, Dr. Zinkoff.
Oh, that's right. I remember that back. My brother went to the Wharton School of Business in Penn. He took me to a game of the Spectrum back in the day. It was one of my favorite NBA moments, you know. And now, obviously, you have got a heck of a young team right now. What is your challenge to keep these kids playing the way that they are? Maybe get yourself out of a play-in situation and move forward this year.
Yeah, the biggest challenge is like continue to grow and improve through successful moments. You know, young teams, like, you know, it's great to have success, but it's all relative, right? Like we're anywhere near the finished product. We know we're part of a process. So keeping them focused and, just really taking it step by step and understanding, you know, you're going to still have some inconsistency with the young roster. But we've been really fortunate to have Carl Anthony Towns leading us with an all NBA caliber season. And his consistency has allowed us to kind of, you know, settle into a groove here.
Well, what'd you think of his 3-point victory at the All-Star game? Because I really liked what he had to say afterwards about trying to break the mold and try to show folks that don't judge a book, I guess, by its height, right? And I kind of dig that. And I'm wondering what you see on a daily basis that might actually echo those sentiments, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's often referred to as one, you know, the best shooting big man in the game. I think he's one of the best shooters in the game, period. Watching it every day, it's effortless. He has incredible range because of his size and his strength. He's able to get it up over anybody. I mean, there's not many contested shots that he even takes. We've been encouraging him to take more just because he shoots at such a great clip, and it sets up everything else he does. It's really, I think the game is in an incredible place right now. You have these skilled big guys leading the charge, whether it's Embiid or Jokic, Giannis, you know, you can throw in there too. Like, it, you know, we've moved way past the days where big guys are just back to the basket and plotting around the floor. Like, these guys are, you know, microcosms of an offense all to themselves.
Chris Finch, Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Anthony Edwards' talent is out of this world, and it also seems, on occasion, from the outside looking in, that he lives on his own planet as well, figuratively. You got a good story for me on that second part, Coach? What do you got for me?
I mean, you know, the things that you guys see him say and do are, you know, that's life with Anthony. The great part about him, and he's the real deal. He's a very mature kid. Like, even though he comes off sometimes super cocky, he's the real deal with his talent and his potential and the things that you guys have had a window in to see, that, you know, some of the crazy things he may say. The great thing about Anthony is, like, he has a maturity about him that most young kids don't have, and that confidence is not driven by insecurity. It's very self-aware. Like, he knows where he is in his development curve. He knows he wants to be a great player. He also, you know, he's highly coachable and responds well to adversity. So these are all things that you want in a young player, certainly a young player with star talent.
But is there something where you couldn't believe he didn't know about, or something? Like, I guess my favorite one of those is when my friend Mark Laurie, by the way, who's got a big heart, and he helps run my 40-yard dash for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and the ownership group, the new ownership group, took over. He had no idea who Alex Rodriguez was. He had no clue. You know?
Yeah, we had our last road trip of the season last year was down to, we had a Florida swing, so we gave him an A-Rod jersey, you know, before we left.
That's great.
Fantastic.
And then he came over to me once in a game, and he said to me, I need to learn how to take a charge. I said, yeah, I guess.
What does that mean?
It's incredible what these guys come to the, yeah, he didn't know, he's never taken a charge in his life. Like, he just never, you know, just, they come to the league so raw, sometimes you forget that. And just some of the fundamentals and the basics that you think we're all taught when we grow up playing the game is, I mean, right now it's different. I mean, you know, if you're average, like, one-and-done player, think about the last time he might have been really coached or taught anything. It's probably a number of years ago.
So did you didn't have to teach him what the semicircle was, right? Like, you didn't have to go there, right?
No, I mean, yeah, that you couldn't pull that off in today's practice environment.
So. Oh, my God. I mean, just wow. That is incredible. He's so talented, though. I mean, you've got a real talented group in front of you, and I'm wondering if, you know, do you ever catch yourself just looking at that? You know, again, like, not lost in the X's and O's or anything like that, where you just can sit back and go, I got myself a possible, you know, a good team and a winner here. You got that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I lucked into a situation that had good young talent. And some established talent too, with D'Angelo and Carl, and so now we don't have to be reliant simply on first or second year players, and they can kind of develop in their own time. And it's been fun to watch them grow, for sure, and you know, and take to the winning and the competing, and just trying to get a mindset that where we go out every night and we expect to win, which is not always where this franchise has been. So not every job you walk into has these type of players, but I was fortunate enough to have it. And, you know, they've been great in allowing me to coach them and respond to the things we're asking them to do.
What's the best team you've seen played against? Most challenging team, I guess, so far this year?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Phoenix is just like, they're just a finished product. You know, they have it all. They have, you know, the depth, the experience, obviously Chris Paul, Devin Booker, the explosiveness. They got, you know, they can hurt you inside. That's probably the most consistently high-level team we've seen. We were fortunate or unfortunate, I guess, to play Philly on the Harden debut. We got
that's right.
We got,
oh,
we
by
got
the way,
there.
Nice little hello from your hometown, huh?
Right, exactly.
Right.
So they look like the real deal too. I mean, having worked with James in Houston for a number of years, like you can tell when he's locked in, engaged, and playing at a high level. And Embiid is dominant on both sides of the ball. It's been a long time since we played Milwaukee, but I'm still a big believer in them as well.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously the West is quite a gauntlet, but, what do you tell your guys about the possibilities this year? Do you use the word championship? I mean, how do you go about that with them?
We talk openly about the playoffs. You know, we want to be in the playoffs. That's a goal. That's been our stated goal from the beginning of the season, and we haven't shied away from that. I think it's important to have something to really push for. Helps you frame and break down the season into kind of digestible goals. You know, if you talk about an 82-game season, how do you even approach that when you're trying to map it out for your players? It's just too big. But you can break it down into small parts. You relate those parts to a goal. Our goal happens to be the playoffs, you know. And we can get there by finishing in the top six, or we can get there by the play-in route. You know, we don't really care, but either way, our season's been mostly successful, and we want to finish it off in style, so to speak. And that's step one for us. When you get to the playoffs, it's really about matchups. You can get a few rounds here and there, but we know we're a team on the grow, and that's going to take a couple years to be, considered a championship level team.
Coach, appreciate the time greatly. Look for my call as you advance towards the playoffs, and hopefully for you, make it. Let's do that again. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate you having me on. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves right here on the Rich Eisen Show, Chris Finch, right here on the program. Fun stuff right there. Joe Manganiello is about to join us. Before we take a break, news of the day. Think about it. Aaron Rodgers stays with the Packers. We've been waiting for the answer to this for 2+ years, ever since the drafting of Jordan Love got him to say, what the hell? And if you remember, the first person to kind of give you an indication of Rodgers saying, what the hell, was Favre when he came on this program shortly after the draft, if you remember.
It might have been the next day.
It was a few weeks later.
Was it? Okay.
Or a week later, where he said he had spoken to Rodgers, who was kind of mystified about it. Remember that?
Yeah.
So this has been 2 years in the making. Is that what's the future going to be? He's staying put. And you never say never, but it does not appear like he's going to finish anywhere else his career other than Green Bay. And it's a 4-year $200 million reported extension, highest paid player in the history of the league on an annual basis, and it's Aaron Rodgers, and holy crap, that is such huge news, and it lasted as the top story for an hour and a half.
So it looks like it's 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a fifth-round pick, Drew Lock, Shelby Harris, and Noah Fant.
Noah Fant goes to Seattle.
Yeah.
Because the top story of the day now is Russell Wilson, Mr. Go Hawks, in fact, no longer a Seahawk for a huge haul of picks and players. Seattle turning the page on easily its most successful run that they've had with a coach and quarterback and a team. With all due respect to the Holmgren Seahawks that did reset the franchise, leading to Pete Carroll eventually. I know they made the Super Bowl, but Pete Carroll won it, went to back-to-back Super Bowls, and have been a team that you know is coming for you. Such a tough place to win up there in Seattle. New stadium and all, even though it's not so new anymore. And so that sets up an entire free agency period about what now in Seattle. Because you're not saying what now in Denver. The what now in Denver lasted an hour and a half, as evidenced by Jerry Jeudy's Twitter page. If you wouldn't mind setting the before and after tweets. 9:16 a.m. Pacific time, shortly after 10 in the morning in the Rocky Mountains. Jerry Judy tweets out a frowny face emoji. Not getting Aaron Rodgers. Smash cut to Jerry Judy's Twitter account after the news of Russell Wilson an hour and a half later.
Smiley face.
That's how long the Rodgers news lasted, and that's how long the what next, what now in Denver lasted. So what's next is the draft, and then most likely after it, the other piece of news that we will now be waiting for, the NFL schedule, because guess who visits Seattle in 2022?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
The Denver Broncos.
This is amazing.
Guess who visits Los Angeles, Rich? The Denver Broncos.
Well, that's if Von Miller goes back there.
Opening night, Russell Wilson.
Oh, ooh, I see what you're saying.
He's talking about kicking off the season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great.
The Broncos match. Visit Los Angeles for the Rams. We now have a new entry in
who will they play?
Our opening night.
I mean, I'm still sticking with the boys, but.
You know. No way. They're not going to do that to Dallas again.
Yeah,
we settle down a little bit.
Dallas has opened up on the road and somebody else's banner raising night. You don't do that 2 years in a row. That we were saying it was going to be the Bills at the Rams.
Yeah, not anymore, baby.
I think that's your opening night game. Russell Wilson in orange for the first time.
Yep. And if Von Miller goes back to Denver.
My word.
Or even better if he doesn't go back to Denver. Now he's against his former squad.
Well, that'll wrap that up.
Yeah, that wraps it up.
Our friends at NBC are saying, let's go. LFG. So that's it. There you go. I'd be stunned if it's anything else.
I love Chris Finch just starting his interview talking football, though. That was great.
How else can we start it? All due respect to him. Let's take a break. Whew. Joe Manganiello, people.
And Bubbles.
It's Bubbles.
It's a Berg thing.
I can't wait. Know. I have not seen him yet because, as you know, I've been stuck out here.
Yeah, we've been watching you.
And I cannot wait for him to come around the corner with his dog.
You're going to be so sad if Bubbles isn't with him.
I will be disappointed.
We will.
Be honest. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's I-B-O-T-T-A in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. back here on our terrestrial radio audience, rejoining us here on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. Sidney Crosby, The Rookie Year, is a new Audible original, and it's created and written by the stud Sidney Crosby himself, and the narrator is Mr. Pittsburgh Sports, the actor and producer Joe Manganiello, here on The Rich Eisen Show, along with Bubbles, the Chihuahua, tucked into his right arm like a football.
That's my Heisman. Yeah,
there you go. I have to go the other way.
And I made the mistake of walking over and giving Pubbles a pet a little. And she. So do I have to approach in any way, or she will always do that?
She has the temperament of James Harrison. She looks little. She's aggressive.
And she'll pick off Kurt Warner at the best possible times.
At the
for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said that, Kurt. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good to see you, man.
Great seeing you.
Thank you for bringing your
dog.
Well,
I want to say the Sidney Crosby Rookie Year is written by Neely Lohman.
Oh, because it says created and written by Sidney Crosby.
Well, Sid is a huge part of it, obviously. Okay. And he was interviewed. His parents were interviewed. Coaches. His old roommate, right. Mario Lemieux,
right.
Was also interviewed.
Yes.
So it's kind of this look back, this kind of walk through his life during that rookie season. And what you don't understand or what you get inside of is you know, just how he was a child star. At age 7, there were people calling the house asking about this kid.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Come on.
And all of the pressure of growing up in Canada, kind of the weight of growing up in these kind of like, you know, mariner communities, these fishing, small fishing villages in Eastern Canada, and being the pride of his town, and then coming up and being drafted when he was 17 as the next great one, turning 18 years old shortly thereafter, and then Lemieux stepping in and saying, "You're 18 years old. I don't want you to have to worry about living alone, figuring all that out. Come live with me and my family and my kids in our house." And so he lived with Lemieux his first
season. What was that like? Do you know any stories about
that? Well, all the other guys wanted to come over and visit. They're like, "You live at the owner's house? Like, I'm coming over."
Right, you know? Sure. Right.
But yeah, no, and then we get into it, and Lemieux talks about it. Sid talks about it. You know, Sid would go down in the basement and play mini sticks with the kids every night, like, because he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and you watch all the pressure put on him and the target on his back during that first season, and it's really extraordinary what he went through. And obviously, looking back, what it meant to Pittsburgh on the verge of bankruptcy, being, you know, threatened to be moved out of town. Lemieux steps in, liquidates all this money that they owed him. They owed him $30 million, and he took that in a controlling interest in the team. And then there was a lockout season, which means there's no draft order, and the Penguins won the bingo lottery and got this kid that gave us nothing but sellouts for the next 17 years and kept the team in town.
We've got some photographs on the screen as you've been telling the story. What he looks like, he was a child.
He was a kid. Yeah, he was a kid.
Just seeing him here in these photographs, what a child.
In chapter 4, for example, is his first trip to Philadelphia, and everyone's screaming, "Crosby sucks."
Yeah.
And they bash his teeth out illegally. He comes back into the game and scores the winning goal. So it's just, you couldn't script this, any of this better. I mean, being kept off of the Olympic team by Wayne Gretzky, none other than the man that he was compared to, and said he was the next Gretzky. Gretzky keeps him from that initial Olympic team that everyone believed he should have been on. And then 4 years later, the Olympics are in Canada. Mm-hmm. He gets on the team and wins the shootout against the U.S. Like, it's just... the story is just incredible the way that it unfolds, but you don't realize how much pressure is on these kids. You know, I think sometimes people, they're probably accustomed to like LeBron's story.
Right.
When you're chosen at this young age where they actually have the metrics and know this kid's going to be something. I mean, at 7 years old, he was beating kids who were 12 and 13. It was really incredible.
Audible original, Sidney Crosby, The Rookie Year, Joe Manganiello, who narrates it right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Everyone should, it's fascinating. That is fascinating, and I'm sure you're like a kid in a candy store.
Sure.
It's
really well done, too. Yeah, and the way that they set up the audio, you know, and there's 8 chapters, so they all unfold one after another, and you know, it's everyone involved with the entire story.
So you mentioned kid in a candy store. Are you the kid outside the candy store looking in and seeing Russell Wilson as a Denver Bronco right now? I mean, like, what as a Steeler fan on a day like today where Rodgers stays put and the Broncos mortgage the immediate future,
right?
You know, what are you thinking now that Big Ben's retired?
No, I never thought we were going to get those guys or go
Why
after
not?
Those guys.
Why not?
Because the cost is too much.
So what?
But we're 2 years away. We're not a just add a quarterback and win the Super Bowl team. I don't think we are. I think we need, I mean, when you have three all-pro offensive linemen retire in the same year,
right?
You got to retool. And then, of course, you know, Tuitt misses a season, Aluwalu gets hurt. Now you're two defensive linemen down. You know, our linebackers didn't really, inside linebackers didn't pan out last year. Now we're two inside linebackers away. If Joe Hayden leaves, now we're a shutdown corner away. Those are a lot of pieces at every level, let alone the fact that I'm not sure if we have a clear number one wide receiver. So, I mean, those are big. We're a couple of years away. And so you could plug in a Rodgers or a Wilson, but who's going to block for him? You know, and last year was, you know, an interesting year coming into the draft because I think they were trying to surround Ben with weapons in case this was the last stand, the last push for him,
right,
for his window. And what happens was I think there were some decisions made that, you know, we could have wound up with future Hall of Fame linemen who were available when we were picking, but we were making choices, I think, based upon winning now. To me, I want to be competitive. And, of course, this is an organization that likes to be competitive every year, but I just think right now we have to look at it as there's 2 years. I think in 2 years we can retool if we're smart and we do it right. And we have a great, you know, we have a lot of cap room. And I think to give all that away for a quarterback without an offensive line is really difficult.
So that's a very sensible take, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a very sensible take. Yeah.
I think the Steelers' next quarterback will be somebody that they find in the draft. It's not going to be a...
So it's like a sophomore in college, a junior in college right now? You think this is the next big Steelers?
Hopefully it's not somebody in kindergarten. Because, you know, I mean, between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger were 21 years. You know, granted, we could have had Dan Marino, but we didn't.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, get in line. There's somebody, you know, my team chose Ken O'Brien instead of him.
Everybody did, yeah.
I know
yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I know that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, I just don't know. I mean, it's possible they could choose Kenny Pickett, 20th overall. I mean,
speaking of the ghost of Dan Marino, yes, the next pick quarterback. And I kind of wondered about the hand size thing, if that was like the Dan Marino marijuana thing. You know what I mean? like it's how do we get him to drop in the draft so that the Steelers can get him at 20?
I'm gonna say what just popped into my mind. I'll say it. You can't hold a joint with 8.5-inch hands. It's very difficult. So
like a roach.
Wow. You can hold that problem.
You can hold a roach, man.
It's very difficult to do that. I did just say that. But that is, I don't think that's a big deal, the 8.5-inch hands.
If you didn't know those measurements, look at how good he is on film. Right. If you didn't know that, it doesn't matter.
Here, put up the photograph, Hoskins, that we've been using of him lately. It's just, we've used this photograph, and then I didn't think about it at all, ever. And then I find out that his hands are 8.5 inches large, and then all of a sudden I see the photograph. I'm like, those hands do look a little small on the football.
Does he drop the ball a lot?
No,
I don't know where this is headed.
He doesn't at all.
Like I said, I don't want to ruin anything if this means he drops to 20 and is maybe available.
Right there, you know, coming out of the combine, it's like, you know what? Like, look, see the hands right there in the football in his hand? It just does. I don't know.
And I haven't pulled out the tape measure, but 8.5. That's pretty.
I think it's like my hand. I don't know. I didn't measure my hand either.
We have a tape measure for Joe.
But your hand is definitely not 8.5 inches.
No.
Your hand is much larger than
yeah,
that.
I would think so. Yeah.
You know,
Joe's got the Ryan Leaf paw right there.
Yeah. When I normally shake hands with an NFL quarterback, their hand or like their index finger will reach up to where my wristwatch is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the way it is. I did not meet Kenny Pickett at the combine. I just think, like, I didn't think about it at all watching him play in Pittsburgh. Then you hear it and it's just like, well, I don't know. There's nobody who has hands like that. If Michael Vick was the last first round draft choice who had hands that were just 8.5 inches.
Is that right?
Large. Yes.
He did okay.
These are facts.
He did all right.
He did all right. Yes, he did. Yeah. So would you 20th overall if you come away with him?
Oh, boy.
Because you just mentioned all of the, we need this, we need that, we got this. And Kevin Colbert is leaving his current position as general manager.
Yep.
Daniel Jeremiah, who sat next to me for the combine, was talking about how he's saying in many ways, I think it was him or somebody else told me, that Colbert would like to leave the team with their next quarterback, similar to Ozzie Newsome, who is still around. I did see him at the combine.
Sure.
But, I mean, what do you think about all that?
I mean, if he's available at 20, I mean, it becomes a Najee Harris situation, I think, where you're hard-pressed to let it go or let him pass by.
Right.
Because you could be looking at, you could be looking at a starting quarterback. With that said, it's almost like, I mean, oh, boy. I'd love to see some big stud offensive lineman first round. You know, what's the Trevor guy, the big one from Northern Iowa?
Yeah, right.
Who just like...
Penning, right?
Yeah, he like throws...
I don't think he's less than
20. Throws first-round picks around
like he's out of the club.
He'll be gone
yeah.
by then. Yeah, I'm sure.
Right.
But I mean, there's such a talented draft. I mean, the combine was wild this year, seeing 340-pound guys run 4.7s and
right.
things.
I know. There is I don't know. We haven't talked about it yet. There is a Nebraska center named Cam Juergens. And he makes his own beef jerky, and his nickname is Beef Juergens. He makes his own beef jerky.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean he's a terrific center. You know,
I like jerky.
You know, there you go.
Yeah,
but that's who you. I don't think who you're talking. That's the Northern Iowa kid that you're talking about.
That monster.
I don't think he's gonna. I don't. Who the hell knows? Because there's so many great defensive players.
Yep.
There's those two Ohio State. Wideouts. There's a couple of those offensive linemen.
You can solve some offensive line problems in free agency, and we have money for like the first time in a long time. I mean, we really got messed up because of that COVID cap last year, but I think we're back on track this year. I mean, we have to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yes, you definitely do.
For sure.
Right.
But past that, maybe we could get some journeyman offensive lineman in the first round. Maybe there's a great D lineman who runs faster than our wide receivers. That's available.
How's Bubbles doing? How's Bubbles getting through this right now?
She's taking a nap right now. She's not really. You see, so this is an interesting game to play
with
at home.
With your Chihuahua?
Yeah, when I watch the Steelers, because I'm used to screaming and swearing at the TV and pacing and yelling and trying not to put my fist through the TV screen.
Well, this year on
occasion. She doesn't go for that at all. So it's kind of like I have to.
Okay.
You know, like that. You got to hold it in, even though you want to scream at the top of your lungs.
But, so is she always in your arms or in your lap? Like, literally
all the
time?
There are days that go by where she doesn't touch the ground.
Well, because we noticed, like, honestly, Joe, you know, we see photographs on your Instagram every now and then, and, you know, this dog is... been everywhere.
Yeah, she right? just got back from 4 months in Ireland. She lived with me. Oh, we're at the Independent Spirit Awards.
There you go. We saw, Spirit Awards.
There's her uncle, Nick.
Is that your bro right behind
you?
Yeah,
that's my brother, okay, Nick in the background. Independent Spirits.
Okay, there you go.
She was really happy for Simon Rex. She really thought Red Rocket was a great film. She loved Florida Project, so she's a big fan of the filmmaker. She was happy about that
one. Dude, can you believe what your life has become with this animal? I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know...
Well, a buddy of mine said to me...
you were a jacked werewolf, like, you know what I mean? You were almost another super... Like, come on.
Yeah, well, somebody... One of my friends said to me, this is how Mickey Rourke happens. I said, well, no, I don't think that's how it happened. Okay, but there's similarities, but yeah, but no.
Look, this dog is asleep right now.
She's passed out. She's wearing a little... Her dad found out he was 20% Irish with 23andMe.
Okay.
So,
I'm
Irish. Yeah, I found out. I found out last year.
When you were in Ireland?
Before I went to Ireland. Okay. So, the show Finding Your Roots on PBS.
Yes.
I will be in an upcoming. They're editing my episode right now.
Fantastic.
They spent last year, 10 months working on my genealogy and uncovered like a secret that everyone went to the grave with.
I got it. You're deep. You're from a family of Browns fans. No,
that would be tough.
You
man.
Just broke into a sweat right there.
Yeah, that'd be tough. I mean,
Joe, I hate to break it to you, we found out your great 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 grandfather
was Paul Brown,
diehard Browns fan.
Was Paul Brown?
Yes. Otto Graham.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So you
And we uncovered the secret. So I will in an upcoming. episode of Finding Your Roots, you'll find out where that came from and how and which side of my family.
What else you got going on? You always got about 15
what
things
else going on? Well, there's the upcoming Metal Lords from D.B. Weiss. We call him Dan in my Dungeons and Dragons
group. Come on.
But he wrote this amazing movie for Netflix called Metal Lords, which is about a group of kids not often represented who are in a death metal band trying to win the battle of the bands at their high school. And it's this heartwarming, like really fun, great young high school kid movie about kind of the tropes and archetypes you don't often get in those types of movies.
Okay.
Super fun, great music. Tom Morello does all the music. There's some great, great cameos from huge rock stars in it. And the kids are so good. Like you will fall in love with these kids. So that's coming out soon. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead anime series will come out.
Fantastic.
And then I've got a couple other things that I'm actually writing right now.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll be able to announce soon, because they're like kind of like they're like dream projects of mine that I've been working on for a year that I haven't been able to talk
about. Okay. As you know, we're always here for you.
Yeah,
whenever you got anything coming up. And just for anybody out there in our Peacock or SiriusXM or terrestrial radio audience, we're used to hearing it. But yes, Joe Manganiello is in a Dungeons and Dragons group, and one of the members is one of the creators of the Game of Thrones television series, D.B. Weiss, Dan Weiss, right?
Yeah. And Dave Benioff played...
He's in it too?
Yeah, so actually...
So the people who brought Game of Thrones to life on HBO are Dungeons and Dragons members of
Well, they grew up playing it. I mean, which is what the show became.
Sure.
Yeah. So they play characters in my show every week, or you know, the adventure. They don't have to write. They just have to show up. And they get to play their characters, which is really fun.
Right. Which is like with the 25 sided die and stuff like that.
20 sided die. Yeah.
20 sided die.
Yeah.
You gave five too many sides. Uh-huh. And does your wife still refer to you guys as the nerds? Does she refer to you guys as the nerds still?
I prefer intellectual.
Does Bubbles make it into the Dungeons and Dragons room?
Bubbles sits on my lap while I run the games and just takes a nap. She just goes.
So you're the Grand Master? Is that what it is?
Dungeon Master.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not making fun of you. You seem like I'm making fun of you. I'm not doing
that. I mean, there's a little bit. You were close enough to 20. I think you knew it was a 20 sided die, but you went 25 to try to hide your tracks.
If I only had my cloak of invisibility on right now.
There it is. Okay, there you go.
Just get in the game.
I know.
I'd get destroyed in 2 seconds. Like, I'd be dead. I'd be dead before I hit the floor.
Walk you through it. The greatest character ever, Rich.
Like what?
Whatever you want to do. What do you think? You cast spells? Do you fight? Do you do a little bit of both?
I never really thought of it.
That's good.
I'm a spell caster.
That's a good.
I do that every day.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The Rich Eisen Show audience is spellbound every day.
You could throw flames, throw like hot
fire.
Takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fireballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lightning bolts, fireballs.
Why wouldn't anybody create the most powerful character of all time?
Because you start off as like a little tadpole, and then you have to grow.
But that
you
takes time.
You have to grow.
But that's
the fun of it. You're on an ongoing series. You're in Game of Thrones. You said, come to our Game of Thrones parties every week. This is your chance to be on the show. Who do you want? You want to be the Mountain? You want to be Jon Snow? Who do you want to be? You want to be Daenerys? Whatever you want, Rich.
Showing up and having, you know, and drinking and watching TV.
If George Martin came to play, would you come on?
Yes.
Oh,
I talked Jets with him. He's a diehard Jet fan. I talked Jets with him. So are you saying George? Wait a minute.
They were supposed to. COVID hit, so we had to stop playing live because COVID hit.
There's a Zoom Dungeons and Dragons.
But George was going to come over. Yeah, then we started doing it by Zoom. Yeah.
So you roll the die on Zoom, and is there just like?
So there's a program where I put up the map, and each character can only see what you can see. So if you have like night vision, you can see. I program how far you can see. Or if you have a torch, it flickers, and you can see how far. And you can only see what you can see. So sometimes people in the Zoom are like, "Oh no!" And you're like, "Because you can't see it. What happened? Get up here, you know, and then you have to get into a fight."
Okay.
So I have the map up here, and then we have Zoom over there so we can, you know, see each other.
Ballpark it for me. What's my time commitment if I start this process? Ballpark. What is it?
Well,
what's my time commitment?
If you were like, "Hey, I want to deadlift 600 by next year." Are you like, "What's my time commitment before I deadlift 600, Joe?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know, Rich.
Well,
let's get in there." and see where you're at. And then we'll go from there. Is it offensive that I'm asking for what the time commitment is? I should just want to hang out, right? Like, that's the way it should be.
But that's what it is. It's like a lot of us were poker players who, when we were kids,
yes,
played this game.
Right.
You know? And so when we were kids, I mean, geez, I mean, when you're a kid, it was like you'd play 12 hours. Your mom would make English muffin pizzas. You go to sleep, you wake up, you start again. You know, that was how it was. English so now muffin. It's like we get a food truck. I have the food truck come to the driveway. We all eat, we hang out. And then we go. And honestly, I would, you know, it's like, guys, it's midnight. Who has to be up tomorrow? Anybody? No, I do, but let's go. You know? And then.
Okay.
You know, now it's 1:30 in the morning, guys, and then 2:30. They want to. You want to keep going, so it's a thing. Like it could be 3 hours hanging out. These guys, they like to go seven. They like to go seven.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I already established last hour as you're making your way down here. I only wait 10 minutes for friends. That's it.
I don't think Rich is a good fit for this joke.
Come on. This is, I mean, you don't know who's in my group. Big Show. You ever hang with the Big Show? You ever have him on the show?
Big Show.
The Big Show from wrestling. Paul White.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The largest giant man you've seen.
He loves D&D. He used to fly in from Florida every weekend to play.
I'll come in.
So Big Show, you've got a CrossFit champion. Who you've met, okay. my former trainer, Ron, CrossFit champion.
Does Vince Vaughn play with you, Joe?
What's that?
Vince Vaughn, does he play with
Vince
you?
Vince Vaughn, yeah. You've got James Gunn used to play, Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live, very funny guy, Rams fan.
Rams fan. Yeah, he's a happy guy these days.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll text you.
Okay. Linebacker Cassius Marsh, he's going to make a character.
Oh, wow.
Like, last time I saw Post Malone, he wanted to play. So maybe, I don't know, we get Posting in
Post
there
Malone.
With you. You ever meet Post? Yeah, he's cool dude. He plays Magic cards. Yeah. I play Magic with Post.
Amazing. Yeah.
Damn.
All right, I'm in.
You know what? Cassius Marsh.
I'm in now. Yeah.
Cassius Marsh, he created a character that taunts the other side by just looking at them.
Stares
them. Right?
But it's just staring.
Just staring.
It's just looking. And then, you imply what you want to imply.
Yeah, right. Tony Corrente's character, Hip Check.
I know. He's the dungeon master, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Everybody, check out the Audible original Sidney Crosby, The Rookie Year, narrated by Joe Manganiello. Take care. Joe, thanks for bringing Bubbles, man.
She's sleepy.
She's fantastic. Sleepy. An entire interview and appearance with Bubbles and like the Duke, 4 points of pressure. What are we teasing going to break, sir?
We are teasing Aaron Rodgers has spoken.
Okay, fantastic. Do you want to stick around for the end of the show?
Sure.
Spoken
about Russell Wilson's trade?
No, maybe.
I'm kidding.
All right. Oh, was he on Pat's show? Is that what happened?
No, he just tweeted out.
Oh, great. That's next. Joe Manganiello is going to finish the show. With Bubbles, coming up next.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network. Joe Manganiello is still here. Okay, so what do we got? Aaron Rodgers has tweeted,
everybody.
Let's check it out. Hey, everyone, just want to clear some things up. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms of the contract I signed. I'm very excited to be back. Hashtag year 18.
We did a handshake?
I don't know.
We didn't sign. We just shook hands.
I don't know what that means.
Hold on. I'm trying to see if people were reporting that he actually signed.
I don't know.
Well, Ian's language was agreed to terms.
Yeah. I don't know who's saying that they signed, so.
Nobody has said signed, but.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Look. There's something going on with Devontae Adams, right?
Yep.
Like, he's got to get that guy signed long term.
Yep.
He meaning Gutekunst, and Aaron Rodgers, he needs him signed long-term, too. Like, he's got to bring his own – like, he's not going to sign a monster deal and what, and Devontae doesn't get his long-term deal? Like, that's
not
something
that was actually a great first take topic this morning, Rich. Huh? Does Aaron Rodgers need Devontae Adams to be a top-five quarterback?
He needs to, of course, any quarterback needs somebody to throw to who's incredible to make you a top five quarterback. He's got the, do you know how many top, how about this? How about this?
That's why it was,
how about this?
I was on first
date. Did Matthew Stafford look like a top five quarterback this year?
Yeah, at times.
Okay, at times, right?
He threw a lot of
picks,
but yeah.
Did he look like a top five quarterback since Calvin Johnson was gone?
Not really.
You need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to have someone to throw to.
Sure, but also when you say things like, people come to Green Bay because they want to play with me. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I want to be consulted. I want to be brought into the fold.
Yes.
Okay, well, get him signed. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a bit of that. When you come out and say that, then, okay, well, where's all the guys coming? Where's the Tampa Bay team that signs for a year around you to push you over the top and get you that Super Bowl in Green Bay? Let's go.
Right. Although, I'll say this, though. I mean, you know, Devontae Adams, there's something going on. Like, they got – Devontae Adams didn't want to come back to Green Bay if Aaron's gone, right?
Right.
You would think.
I mean,
And Aaron is like, you know, part of the reason why I want to stay here. Obviously, the money's pretty darn good. Devontae's coming back, right? I mean, why would he want to stay and not have the greatest receiver in the game with whom he has a sixth sense there?
Yeah.
So this all has to be figured out. Somebody's got to go first, though, right? They can't just say the deals are all this and then 3, 2, 1, everybody sign at once. Right. Like, go. Like, there has to be somebody has to go first.
But I think there's also something to be said for chemistry in the NFL. You know, there's 11 players on each side. If two players have chemistry, like a quarterback and a wide receiver, you see it happen all the time where it's like the dog with the bone in their mouth that sees a reflection of the dog with the bone and thinks, I want two bones, and they wind up with zero. You see that happen so many times where these players go and move somewhere thinking they're... Look at OBJ. Look at what it took for him to get back on track with a quarterback that he had chemistry with. You know, you kind of ruin the middle of your career, you know, if you don't. I mean, look at AB. I mean, these are, you know, you kind of never get back on your footing. And if you're a wide receiver that has a great quarterback chemistry, stay.
What about the dog that falls asleep in his father's forearm? What about that dog?
you sign that one to a long-term deal,
definitely,
Rich.
Definitely. Yeah. Bubbles is locked, right?
Fifth-year option. Yeah, well, she's still on a rookie contract with me. Actually. No, she
look at this dog.
She was a trade.
Twitter reports that Tyler Lockett might also be on the move.
Jeez.
Tyler Lockett.
Go to your Seahawk fan in your life and give that person a hug today. That'll wrap it up for this show. I want to thank Daniel Jeremiah, and I also want to thank on this program Chris Finch of the Minnesota Timberwolves and Mike Florio, and thank you too, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Joe Manganiello here on The Rich Eisen Show.